When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
There's intruder hallucinations, which involve the perception of a dangerous person or presence in the room, which is what I experienced because I thought there was someone in my closet.
Hat man, for sure. Yeah.
I love that you're like stuck on Hat man through this whole podcast. Like,
you're just like Hat man. It's all I got, you know?
I love it.
Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. My name is Josh.
I'm Grace.
And this is a podcast where we talk about science things in the world around you and try to explain them in simple and fun ways.
I like that. That was
good. That's the intro. That's the intro this week.
Welcome to episode 101.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. This is the first episode post 100th episode special.
The 100 episode spectacular.
We're living in a post 100 episode world now.
Weird.
It was funny about that. I was telling Grace, and don't go fact check our work, please, because I don't actually want to know. But
please don't.
I didn't go back and count the episodes we posted. and on YouTube, it was our 100th episode.
I feel like YouTube was the most correct way for us to count it. Because on everything got a little wonky on
Dropbox, which is where we store all of our files. We have the folders for all the projects and things like that. On there, it was not the 100th episode.
No.
And I told Grace, I was like, I hope we didn't like screw this up. But I honestly
don't
know.
It was definitely us on Dropbox because our file system is like RT and then it's like 21 through like 23.
Yeah,
that's which are the years. Is the years, and then it's like it changes numbers, so like it starts over number wise at that in the beginning of the year, I think. So at one point we got off somewhere / just started continuing the number sequence, just being like, okay, we're just gonna keep going. Yeah, so I think it was just on us. Because if you think about it, we did it in 2021 and we started in November. So like November through December only would have been like what, four or five weeks that we did episodes. A podcast. Yeah. And I think that's how much we are off on Dropbox.
Well, like I said, no one go and fact check that. Don't count our episodes. I don't really care that much. I don't want to know if we got it wrong. This is episode 101. That's it. End of discussion.
101. 101. Everything you should know. 101.
101. This is the episode. This is the big one. We did talk about it. You mentioned if we should make episode 101 be the big episode.
I kind of like it this way because like now it's like 101 and it's like we're back on track doing the things.
We're back just talking about stuff.
Speaking of which, Josh and I were like chit-chatting and we were like, would it be fun if we changed the format a little bit of the videos or podcasts that we do? So in my head, I'm kind of thinking like maybe we do a couple more segments. So like instead of it being a full video about what our listeners are asking in the comments and ratings and reviews area, what if that was like a segment? And so we talk about like three or four different things.
Kind of like we did on
the podcast.
Episode.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, this is our viewer of the week's podcast idea segment. So it gets like chunkated. And we talk about like some other things too. I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. But I kind of want to play with the podcast format a little bit.
We've done 100 episodes so far. Maybe it's time to like look at the format and see if we can tweak it or, you know, whatever, make it better.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know. Let us know.
I don't know. Maybe we'll do like some season stuff too.
Yeah, we've never even dealt with seasons. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's time for a new season.
You know,
maybe when we change the format, we'll start a new season.
We need a dramatic season finale. We need to end on it. I don't know. Does that happen in podcasts? I don't think it does. Real quick, we got to get back to this conversation we were just having. So I was going to ask you, how are you? But more specifically, tell the people out in the world how you were apparently a slug that could not get up yesterday.
It was so bad. I was quite literally a couch worm yesterday. So I got back into working out and going to the gym. I took basically a month off just because I had no motivation to work out. I had no motivation to go to the gym. I just didn't feel inspired to go, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I took a break. I have always done high intensity workouts or HIIT workouts. So think like Barry's Bootcamp, Orange Theory. So classes that like get your heart rate really high and elevated for like an hour. And then like you leave after that and you question your life and you're like, why did I just sacrifice myself?
That last part really sounds like me.
Yeah. So I got back into working out and I went to Solid Core. I don't know if you've ever heard of Solid Core, if anyone's heard of Solid Core, done Solid Core or worked out or has done a sport and been incredibly sore the next day. So Solid Core is all Pilates. So it's on a reformer, one of those like machine boards that moves, but it's with springs. So like you're the one controlling it and moving it.
Okay.
So I went to Solid Core for the first time. Terrible move on my part. My abs were so sore yesterday. Josh and I were laughing about this. My abs were so sore yesterday that I was sitting on the couch like working and I was kind of like slumped backwards like into the couch. I couldn't sit up. Like my abs were so deeply sore, like not even like surface level sore of like, oh, I'm kind of sore. Like deeply like I didn't know my abs could be like the behind my ab wall sore.
There were muscles sore that you didn't even know you had.
Yeah. Muscles so sore that I could not sit up because they were so fatigued and like sore. They're still sore. Like I can feel them, but like it's not as bad today. I actually went to another workout class today.
Oh my gosh.
But they were so bad yesterday. I did not think I was going to make it. So like literally was like laying on my couch and to sit up, I had to roll off the couch. I literally felt like a seal. I was just like rolling off my iceberg into the water. That was me yesterday. Like it was so bad. Do not recommend at all.
Best of luck to you. That's all I have.
I just kept telling myself it's going to get better. But the worst part was Jordy, the dog that I dog sit. Yep. He was like, he wanted to go like on a walk and like play yesterday. And I was just like, Jordy, no way. I don't have it in me today. Yeah. to do that.
Oh, poor Jordy.
And like the outside of my butt was sore, but only on like one of my gluteus maximus muscles, which means my hips are really out of line.
Okay.
I'm a hot mess right now. So like one of my legs, like I couldn't even get the muscles to like engage because like walking when I was walking because it was just so fatigued and so sore. So RIP. It's like those deep muscles, like those deep laughing muscles that are sore in my body right now.
It sounds like you're really going.
If you put your hands on your stomach, like, or like on your side and go like, ha ha ha, like those muscles that engage, like when you do that are the ones that are sore.
That's what's bad.
On my body.
So miserable. we're going to have a nice low key, very serious podcast today.
Yeah.
No jokes.
I'm actually... No jokes at all, but I am kind of curious. Maybe it'll be a podcast because, you know, I experienced it. And so now I'm curious about those deep muscles. What was I targeting? Why am I this sore? And just like, what is muscle soreness anyway? And how can you become less sore quicker?
Yeah.
So kind of curious.
Hey, that's totally a interesting topic. We should explore.
It is.
Figure it out. I think it's an interesting
Maybe that's
thing.
A segment when we start in. Start a new format.
If we did segments, we could talk about that. Not bad.
Logically, this makes sense. Well, maybe that should be the segment. Logically, this makes sense, but
but yeah, That's interesting.
I'm gonna write it down since no one else is gonna write it down.
No one's gonna write that down. Yeah, I'm shocked you are, honestly. Good for you.
Well, you know, I'm all about holding myself accountable now. So I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that and like completely get away from what we were talking about today, which I feel like we should talk about this topic, and maybe this is a podcast idea. Where was I going with that? My ADHD just kicked in so hardcore. Oh, yeah. So I've been reading a lot about just the connection to your body with like holding yourself accountable. So like when you stop holding yourself accountable, like what does that chain reaction start like within you psychologically? Because I don't hold myself accountable a lot and have just like put stuff off and put stuff off and put stuff off instead of like building the confidence in myself to be like, no, I can do that. No, I can tackle that right now, because I just have. And so I'm curious, like, when did this like slippery slope happen, and how do I get back on track, crush the things, create confidence, and like all this stuff? So
that's super interesting, and it's so true. I'm like the same way. For me, it's like relatively, I have a fairly easygoing personality about certain things. Like I try not to just like stress everything. And so, but part of that can be like a negative, like it can go too far where I'm just like, you know, I'm just not like motivated or don't hold myself accountable to like get things done at on a pace that needs to happen or whatever.
And I think that's happened with me a little bit, because like I used to be such a control freak and I used to be stressed out all the time because I wanted everything to be perfect. And I had to completely destroy that mindset for myself. But I think I destroyed it too far.
Yeah.
And I think now I gotta bring it back in and like build it back up. And like if I say I'm going to do something, I have to do it, because I'm like trying to just reinforce.
Yeah.
Weird things. I don't know. People are weird. Your 20s are weird. I know we have a lot of younger listeners. My biggest advice to anyone in their 20s is just like, hang on, buckle up. Because it's like, your 20s are so weird. They're so weird.
As someone in their mid to late 20s, I can fully vouch. Just buckle up, get ready for a lot of life lessons. Here's the thing though. Because I feel like we always joke about this, and like it's a joking phrase people use where they say like the 30s are your new 20s or whatever, or 30s are the new 20s or whatever. But I think it's true. Like if you're like out there, you're in your teens, you're going to be coming in your 20s soon. Like no one has anything figured out. Like,
oh yes.
Don't be hard on yourself. Like life is so turbulent and stuff changes at like the drop of a hat, and you just got to get through it and be able to learn something from it and expand on it, move on and use it in your life. And that's like your whole, that's your 20s and now probably into your 30s. Like that's just life. I feel like
there was so much pressure to have it figured out.
When I was growing
up. So backwards.
When I was growing up, a kid, teenager and a kid, and, you know, kids out there, write in, let us know if this is you. I would look at like adults or even, you know, 20-year-olds or whatever. And I'm like, those people clearly have it figured out. Like they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that is the massive shift when you become an adult, when you get into your 20s, you're going through all of that. No one has anything figured. No one knows what's going on.
All a mirage. It's a mirage.
Everyone is just pretending to know what's going on and and have a handle on it at all times.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like so fully, it's insane.
Yeah. So I guess for any kids out there listening to Grace and I on a weekly basis, thinking, oh, they're adults. They probably have a handle on. No. I will. I'll set it straight right now. No way.
If anyone looks at me and is like, you got your life together, there's not a single piece of me that has it together. To be very, very clear. Like, I am making it up as I go and learning along the way. And I think that's the hard part in your 20s is like, it's so much failing before you get any success.
Well, and here's the thing, though, that I will say, because I feel like me saying that, me bringing that up, and then maybe, and you saying like, oh, yeah, I'm making it up as I go, that is kind of putting it in a negative light. And I don't mean it negatively.
I think
saying, you know, having the false expectation of like, oh, adults have it all figured out, that's just setting you up for failure. But I don't even think that like, oh, by the when I get in my 30s, I'll have it figured out.
No.
I don't think that, like, this is just what life is. Like, yeah. I don't think you're ever, maybe when you're like in your 80s or 90s and literally like you've done everything, maybe at that point. But otherwise, like, that's just what life, that's just living life, is like going through stuff and having to adapt and figure it out and deal with things and never having it all worked out. Man, we just got on a tangent there. Sorry, I got a little fired up.
I love it. I love it. Maybe this should be a segment called The Tangent.
The Tangent, just whatever we're feeling passionate about that week.
Yeah, I feel like we should, you know, The Tangent. Welcome to the first segment, The Tangent.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
You know, because like tangent's a science thing.
It's true. That's true. Should we read some ratings and reviews?
One last thing.
Oh, what do you got? What do you got?
I think the best comparison of what it's like is like your teenager years is you on one of those bikes that like you see little kids on. It's not a tricycle, but it's the ones where they just like have their feet on the ground and they just push the bike.
Oh, like it doesn't have pedals.
No, it doesn't have pedals. That's gotcha. Like what your teenage years are. It's like you're on the bike. And then, you know, your 20s, like a tricycle in your early 20s, like you're learning to pedal, but you're still on a tricycle. So you're not like really doing anything, you know, like you don't have to have a lot of balance. And then your late 20s, I feel like you're on a bicycle with training wheels.
Okay.
And then in your 30s, you're riding the bike, but you can still fall off the bike and like learn to mountain bike and learn to do all these different bikes. Like, you've got the skill set now to ride the bike, but there's a lot of different bikes out there that you can ride.
This podcast brought to you by bikes. absolutely. I think that's...
so weird.
It's a weird thing, and it's so, like, it is very much, like, society, people as a whole. It is that weird thing of, like, everyone just kind of goes with the status quo and pretends, quote unquote, pretends, you know, air quotes of like everything is figured out, that they've got it all, you know, they're chilling.
I see it so much here in New York.
I just think that's just society. That's just what you do.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably important to running a healthy society, like whatever. But I do think it's also important to then, you know, have people every now and then asking the question of like, do people actually know what's going on? Like, does this bother everyone? Or is like, is everyone else?
Yeah, you
got
to have the
little...
one person in the crowd to like become conscious that they're standing in the crowd and be like, wait, you realize we're standing in a crowd, right? Like, we're all just we're just standing here.
Yeah.
I feel like it takes one person to then wake everyone else up to be like, oh, you don't have it figured out either? Oh, you don't either? Okay, cool. So none of us know what's going on. Great.
Yeah. Like, and that's great.
Wonderful.
I think that is destroying that unrealistic expectation or whatever facade, I think is great, because otherwise
it's so important.
Otherwise, if you don't, you know, say you're going through something, then you just feel bad because, oh, everyone else has figured it out. Everyone else has got it made. And it's like, no, that's not true.
No. And like, it might look good for them right now, but you didn't see what was going on behind the scenes.
Sure. Yeah.
There's always a behind the scenes. Don't forget
sure.
that.
Yeah. There always is.
All right. We ready?
All right. Yeah. Should we actually get into the podcast? We've been recording for like a half hour.
I know. My camera's going to die. Shall we move into some ratings and reviews? Now it's like a funny ongoing joke, you know, because my camera just always dies.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just like,
and people got
point?
To see it live. Like,
that's true. For anyone that watched the live recording, I think it was cut out of the edited version.
That's okay. Probably should have been.
But in the live, Grace's camera died. Near the end.
Always. And,
yeah,
always.
We just had to figure that out.
All right. Ratings and reviews. My rating review comes from Apple Podcasts. You're going to love this name. It says, hi, Grace. Please put those in the dot, 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 dot.
Okay.
The title was too long to show me the whole thing. This comes from Narwhal0090.
Narwhal.
Narwhal0090. Narwhal. Did you know the narwhal's horn is actually a tooth?
Is it really?
It's a tooth sticking out of their head. Yeah.
I'm sorry. The only thing I can think when narwhal is mentioned is bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. That's all I've got in my head.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
It says, hi, I'm Zo. Hey, Zo. Hey. And I'm 10 years old and I love meteorology.
Ooh.
Zo, I love that. Yes. Yeah. I love T-Core. Me and my dad discovered it together and we have loved it ever since. I have a joke and a video idea. Okay. I think you should do a video about tornadoes and the signs of them. And then my joke is this. I know you like weather. I take it very seriously. Get it? Like cirrus cloud? Seriously? Like a cirrus cloud?
That one didn't hit for me, but I don't know what that is. Only because I don't know what that cloud is.
A cirrus cloud is a type of cloud. So it's like spelled C-I-R-R-U-S-L-Y. So instead of seriously, it's seriously. So I love that. Didn't hit for Josh, but it hit for me.
You know, I just don't have the lingo. I don't have the
it's okay.
Great joke though. Clever. I can applaud I can applaud the craft of the joke.
I would love to do a video on tornadoes and the signs of them. We'll have to wait until like tornado season, like the springtime.
Dude, could you imagine like if we went into like somewhere, you know, tornado alley-ish and did some storm chasing? That would be insane.
It's so sketchy because it can go sideways so fast.
It's so true.
Like I would only go with a seasoned professional in the area. Like there's some people that like do this for a living.
Yeah.
And I would go with them because they know the climate, they know the area better than anyone and can put you in the safest spots.
Yeah.
Because if you're on the wrong side of the storm, it can go sideways very, very quickly and be really bad.
Yeah, we definitely
So do wouldn't. Not ever go storm chasing by yourself. Ever.
That's some good advice right there.
That's literally the first thing they taught us in meteorology school.
Oh, really?
Like the first thing our professor sat us down and said was like, don't ever go storm chasing by yourself and don't ever go storm chasing in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, we have so many tall trees and pine trees and everything that you can't necessarily see the tornado or storm until it's right on top of you.
Until it's too late.
And in front of you. Which is why a lot of storm chasers go out in Kansas and Oklahoma and kind of Alabama, not usually because it's still pretty tree there, but in the Great Plains because there's not like trees in the area. You just got fields.
You got more, you can see farther. Interesting. Well, Zoe.
Yes.
There you go. There's your first meteorology lesson straight from Grace.
Keep learning, Zo. It's a lot of fun. And the more you learn, the cooler it gets. So super proud of you for having an interest in it and just keep being curious about it. I love that.
Yeah. I've got the email. This is the topic for today's pod.
Dun, da, da, da.
This comes from Sean. And they said, hello, Grace and Josh. I've been listening, actually watching the podcast from the start. Hi, Sean.
Oh, wow. Hi, Sean.
OGRT.
Love that.
He put an ant emoji and a shirt. Did we do something with an ant and a shirt? Am I misremembering? No,
but I kind of like it. I think that's a lab coat.
Oh, is it? It's hard to see on my screen.
I zoomed way in where I could see the ant's eyeballs and lines on it. Wow, they put a lot of detail into this ant.
Anyway, could you do a podcast on sleep paralysis? I've went through it 2 times and I'm curious as to what causes it. Keep up the good work. And love you both. Grace, remember, haters gonna hate. I think you've done a great job since joining T-Core.
Aw, thanks, Sean.
Very nice, Sean. That was so sweet. And a knock-knock joke. Ready? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Atch.
Atch who?
Bless you.
I'm never expecting it, but it's always a good one.
It's always good. It's always good.
Kind of makes you want to roll your eyes and not laugh at it, but...
I feel like that's the sign of a good knock knock joke is if you feel
I agree
equal parts like it's you wanna humorous
laugh, but...
you want to laugh but you're also annoyed. Sleep paralysis. Should we get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. After this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back.
Dude, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
I've talked on this podcast many times about my sleep and that I'm just like a garbage sleep person. That made me sound like I said I was a garbage person, but garbage at sleep person. Luckily, this is the one sleep thing that I have never experienced. Have you?
It has happened to me once.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't wish it on anyone.
It sounds terrifying.
Now that I've done the research, I can absolutely understand why it happened and how it happened and what type of sleep paralysis I had, which we're going to get into.
Okay.
But let us know in your rating and review if you guys have ever experienced sleep paralysis, because whew, it's intense.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you at all.
No, it's incredibly uncomfortable. Consciously, I was awake but could not move anything in my body.
Oh, that is...
And I remember the dream that was associated with it too, and it was gnarly.
Yeah, there's always like a creepy dream situation as well. Like,
I was like trapped and stuck into a chair.
Oh my gosh.
And there was one light in the room, and like this person kept bringing in people under the one light and like killing them in front of me.
What the?
Yeah. And I was like strapped in a chair and couldn't like move, which was the sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
But I was like strapped in this chair and couldn't get out. Terrifying.
That sounds horrific. Speaking of, have you heard the thing? I feel like it's become a bit of a meme on the internet that people have a dream about a guy with a hat on, a guy with a hat. Have you seen that?
No. What?
I think part of it is has to do with sleep paralysis. But then I've also heard of like people that take too much like sleeping medication. They see these people are seeing like the same dream, but it's just like a man with a flat brimmed hat, like a fedora type
weird
hat, but he's all like shadowed, like black, just like in their room.
Like Slenderman? Ew, no.
Nope.
I've not had that dream, and I would freak out if I had that dream.
I haven't either, but I've seen a lot of talk of it online, and so I just live in fear.
I don't want that person to come see me.
Let us know. Let us know if you let us know if you've had any visitors in the night like that.
That gives me like I have the chills on my arm right now. Like my hair is standing up. I do not like that. Watch me have that dang dream tonight. I'm gonna freak out.
We'll update you next week on the pod. People will let you know if Grace had that.
I'll lose my mind. All right. Sleep paralysis is crazy, number one. And so the states of sleep and wakefulness are usually very clearly defined and distinct. Mm-hmm. So conditions like sleep paralysis actually blur those boundaries of asleep and awake. So sleep paralysis is a temporary inability to move or speak that occurs directly after falling asleep or waking up. So individuals maintain consciousness during episodes which frequently involve troubling hallucinations and a sensation of suffocation.
Ugh,
yeah.
That is rough.
There's also, I remember like hearing clinking in my room and like thinking and like feeling like someone was in my room, but I couldn't move.
It's Hat Man.
It could have been. I clotheslined myself on my door trying to run out of my room once I gained movability. Yeah, it was really bad. My mom like came busting out of her room too because she heard me clothesline myself on the door.
Sure.
I was like shaking in her arms. It was so bad.
Oh my gosh.
It was so bad. I didn't wish sleep paralysis on anyone. So episodes of sleep paralysis involve elements of both sleep and wakefulness, which is partly why they can lead to distressing symptoms. While much is still unknown about sleep paralysis, shocking, yeah. Learning the type, symptoms, and causes, impacts, and treatments can enable a better understanding of the condition and ways for individuals to prevent it.
Okay,
so this is where, for me, it's very fascinating. So sleep paralysis, keep in mind, your brain is doing this to itself.
Yeah, that is a great, man, the freaking brain. It's always...
This wasn't in my notes, but I just like just sitting here thinking about it because this next part just like made me think about it. The brain is doing this. The brain controls muscle movement. The brain controls all these things. So like deja vu. Remember how we talked about how that's the brain's being like it trips up on itself?
Right.
This is basically the sleep version of deja vu, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
Where the brain doesn't really realize it's asleep.
Right. Okay.
So sleep paralysis is a condition marked by a brief loss of muscle control.
Right.
Which is why people feel like they're suffocating.
Right. They can't control their muscles and part
of that is... You can't breathe.
Yeah, the muscles used to contract your lungs and expand them.
Insane. So in addition to atonia, which is your body losing control of its muscles, they experience hallucinations as part of the sleep paralysis. It's actually considered parasomnia, which are abnormal behaviors during sleep.
Okay.
That sounds like paranoia and insomnia mixed together, mixed with paranormal. This all feels interconnected.
You know, it's all just throwing ingredients in one big pot and stirring them
literally up. Because this is linked to rapid eye movement or REM, a stage in the sleep cycle, sleep paralysis is considered to be a REM parasomnia.
Okay.
Which is like rapid eye movement.
Right. We talked about that in our sleep episode that we did.
If you're curious about sleep and its stages, you guys can go listen to episode 61, Why Do We Sleep and Dream? Which is a fascinating episode, by the way.
It was a good one. I think it was, yeah.
So standard REM involves vivid dreaming along with atonia, which usually helps prevent acting out dreams. So atonia typically ends upon waking up, so a person never becomes conscious of the inability to move.
How crazy is that? Just putting aside the like sleep paralysis angle, but yeah, just that your brain every night basically paralyzes your body.
It says body off.
Yeah, it's just like it's you just power down and it's you cannot move.
I think that's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is where it becomes really crazy. So as a result, so you know how we were talking earlier about how like your brain kind of backfires and that's what deja vu is?
Right. It's kind of a glitch in your brain.
As a result, research believe that sleep paralysis involves a mixed state of consciousness that blends both wakefulness and REM sleep.
So it's a glitch in your brain and the sleep cycle.
Yes.
That is scary.
Like it's a mixed state. I think honestly, it's one of the it happens to people, which we're going to get into like different types of sleep paralysis, but I think what happens is, and keep in mind, REM only lasts like, I think what, like a minute?
I think it might be longer. It's longer than that, but it's not.
Doesn't it get longer each time?
I think it might, but everyone go back and
listen to episode 61. Yeah, listen to episode 61.
I want to say it can get up to 30 minutes. That feels long.
I think it maxes at 30 minutes.
I think that might be the max amount. Go listen to the episode. We talk about it there.
So I think your body naturally is waking from REM, but you're not supposed to wake up in REM.
Right.
At all. Your body is like repairing itself in REM sleep.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's, again, like I feel like I should have read back over the sleep podcast just to freshen up. But
yeah,
because there's REM and then there's like deep sleep stage. And I think we had like a fact in there that like one of them, it's almost impossible to wake someone up out of it. And it's like really, it's really difficult to wake someone up out of it because you're not supposed to wake up out of it. unfortunately, with sleep paralysis, you kind of do a little bit.
I think that's what's happening is like maybe you're coming, like you're trying to come into consciousness, yeah. but like your body's in the middle of REM, which yeah. is like your dream cycle, which makes sense of why you would have such vivid hallucinations that your body is feeling and can't respond to because your body's powered off. Isn't that crazy? It is so crazy to me.
I'm like trying to form some sort of analogy. And the only one that I can think of, which this doesn't explain the paralysis aspect, I guess a little bit, but like if you had like AR goggles, you know, like the thing that Apple announced?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Recently.
The Apple Vision or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. To me, it's a little like that where you're, you know, you have your world, you're coming back to reality, but your brain isn't coming right. You're not fully there. So then you're seeing yeah. things, but you're also paralyzed like you would. I mm-hmm. mean, if you're in AR, VR, you don't like move around like your body. You're just sitting there. And but you're yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like part of your brain is moving on from this moment, but
right.
part of it's still stuck there. And your body's obviously still stuck there. yeah, it's crazy. It's such an interesting thing.
Super crazy.
Thing.
So knowing that, in effect, the atonia in mental imagery of REM sleep seems to persist even more into a state of being aware and awake, like we just talked about.
Right. And I think that's the even scarier thing that it, and again, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but just from everything I've seen. It's not like you're in a dream. Because, like, you know, I've had those vivid dreams where you're like, whoa, this is yeah. really, that was really, like, lifelike or whatever.
Yeah,
but this is, sure. like, you know you're awake. You know what is happening, right? Like,
you're aware, yeah.
It's not like you just wake up and you're like, oh, that was a vivid dream. It's like, no, in the moment, you know that you're awake and something is wrong.
Yeah, basically. You feel like you are, like, physically in the dream and cannot move.
Yeah.
That's like wild. I remember trying to like lift my hand and couldn't. Like everything yeah. just felt insanely heavy.
Oh man. That's wild.
Which is a weird, weird feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, so types of sleep paralysis.
Okay.
So medical experts typically group sleep paralysis into two cases. So there's isolated sleep paralysis, and these one-off sleep paralysis episodes are not connected to an underlying diagnosis of narcolepsy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is a neurological disorder that prevents the brain from properly controlling wakefulness, which often leads to sleep paralysis, which is another really interesting topic we could talk about. Sean, if you're having multiple episodes, you might want to go get checked for narcolepsy, or any of our listeners. If you've had this, like, definitely go get checked out for narcolepsy if you're having consistent sleep paralysis dreams.
Yes, absolutely.
But don't tell them you heard of this on a podcast. Tell them you just started doing some research because we're not doctors. So then there's reoccurring sleep paralysis. And this condition involves multiple sleep paralysis episodes over time. And then recurrent sleep paralysis can be associated with narcolepsy, like we just
right,
talked about.
Right. So if you're having it more than one, if it's a one-off, it could be something, you know, who knows, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it's a common thing, definitely get that checked out. Because yeah. honestly, even if it wasn't something so extreme as sleep paralysis, which is, seems very extreme, just if you're having consistent insomnia, you know, trouble sleeping, you should get that checked out. Like I joke all the time about, oh, I'm a terrible sleeper. I'm so bad. And it is, but it's not, I don't actually like have genuine, like luckily I don't think I have like genuine insomnia or anything like
You're
that.
You're like, I actually do sleep.
I do, for anyone out there that might be concerned about my mental and physical state, I do sleep. Thank you. But That's yes, funny. If you're having trouble, actual genuine trouble, get it checked out, please.
Yeah, please get it checked out, please. So there's these two defining characteristics that are combined to describe a condition called recurrent isolation sleep paralysis, or RISP, which involves ongoing instances of sleep paralysis in someone who does not have narcolepsy.
Oh.
So okay. You might just have RISP, and I hate that for you.
I definitely hate that for you, yeah.
If you're curious what sleep paralysis feels like, there's three different types that you can experience while asleep. There's three different types. So there's intruder hallucinations, which involve the perception of a dangerous person or presence in the room, which is what I experienced because I thought there was someone in my closet.
Hatman for sure.
Because I could, yeah, definitely Hatman. I definitely thought someone was in my closet and I could like hear them in the closet, but couldn't move out of my bed, which led to me clotheslining myself in my cracked open door, which is now why I sleep with all doors in my room closed.
Oh, you close the closet.
I close the closet now.
Yeah.
All doors must be shut because of this one instance.
hey, listen. It's that's justifiable, I feel like. Man, it's so... Oh, God. Okay, don't Google Hatman. I Googled Hatman, and...
No.
There's some depictions.
I have chills again.
Good. It's not good.
People are going to have
exactly
nightmares.
What I thought.
I love that you're like stuck on Hatman through this whole podcast. Like, I just like Hatman.
It's all I got, you know. That's my.
I love it.
Connection to this. So,
yeah. If you've seen Hatman, let us know.
I would be fascinated. Let me, yeah, write in. Let us know.
Leave it in a rating and review. There's also vestibular motor hallucinations, which they call VM hallucinations, which includes the feelings of movement or out-of-body sensations. And then that chest pressure hallucination, which is a feeling of suffocation.
Right. Okay. The VM hallucinations, that's interesting.
Super. I feel like it's like lucid dreaming in a way.
A little, like you feel like your body's moving or doing something, but you're not actually. That's mm-hmm. super interesting.
So if you're ever curious if sleep paralysis has a meaning, they have been found to vary in significance based on person's cultural context. Episodes can last for a few seconds for up to 20 minutes, and the average length is around 6 minutes.
20
that
minutes.
You experience. Could you imagine being paralyzed for 20 minutes in a sleep?
Oh my. Well, that's what's so weird about dreams, though, is like, I mean, it was part of that movie, which we actually talked about this in a previous episode that you said you hadn't seen, but Inception.
Yeah.
Where they make a comment about like something they point out that when you're in a dream, time feels like it moves a lot slower than it actually does in real life. Which I think I have not fact checked that, but I feel like I've actually heard that that's a real like you know in a dream you might think it's like an hour's gone by and you've only been asleep for 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. I believe that because like when I take a little naps on the couch sometimes.
Yeah, you have like a huge.
You
dream.
Wake up. Yeah, I'm like I went on this grand adventure and I was asleep for 20 minutes if that. Meaning I went through one dream cycle which was 1 minute long.
Right, that's true. Using that just quadruples the amount of terrifyingness that is this thing, because if it was lasting 20 minutes, is that 20 minutes real time or 20 minutes dream time? Because if it's real time, then in the dream, that would be like hours, right?
Hours that you feel like you're paralyzed for.
You're like trapped and just can't move.
But
oh my
do
gosh.
You? But do you? Because you're like consciously awake.
That's a good point. I feel like that must be real time then, probably. Because you're consciously awake. Yeah.
So the exact cause of sleep paralysis is unknown. Studies have analyzed data to determine what heightens one's risk of sleep paralysis, and they found mixed results. But based on the findings, researchers believe that multiple factors are involved with the onset of sleep paralysis.
We've talked about the brain a lot here. It's never a clear-cut case of why it does anything it does.
So obviously narcolepsy.
Right.
Which we talked about. So that's a pattern of multiple instances of sleep paralysis over a period of time that's connected to narcolepsy. And narcolepsy alters the function of your neurotransmitters in the brain, which causes complications during REM sleep, including sleep paralysis, which is really interesting. I didn't know it was neurotransmitters in the brain that are causing that.
Yeah, the transmitters are being damaged or altered, I guess. Yeah.
They've also found with mental health conditions, there's been a connection to sleep paralysis. So some of the strongest associations are in people with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD and others who have been exposed to physical or emotional distress.
That unfortunately makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. And also those with anxiety disorders, including panic disorders, also appear to be more likely to experience these conditions.
Okay.
Also, they say that stopping alcohol or antidepressants can also lead to REM rebound, which may also cause sleep paralysis.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. REM rebound.
REM rebound.
That's fascinating. I guess because obviously the alcohol and especially, I mean, antidepressants are altering basically
your brain chemistry.
Your brain chemistry. Yeah. That's fascinating.
So it's very fascinating. Honestly, I would love to learn more about that. I myself, so this is not shocking. I feel very comfortable about this. So like I do drink alcohol. I'm 25 years old. That's okay for me to talk about and say. But it's one of those things. I feel like it's always so off limits. People are like, oh, you drink?
And how
it's like,
dare
yes,
you?
I do. Yeah, okay. Like, okay, we got that out there. How dare you? All right, cool. But I have noticed when I go on like detoxes or cleanses or whatever, my life becomes so much clearer and better. And I'm always very much on the side of like, do I need to drink alcohol? I really don't. That's why I like only socially drink when I'm like out doing certain things. But it's very interesting when you do stop drinking and you are like conscious of living a cleaner, healthier lifestyle, like what happens with your sleep and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I have that, speaking of talking about my crappy sleep, of like, if I consciously try and, you know, I like make an effort of like, okay, I'm going to get a sleep schedule, I'm going to go to bed at the same time with good allotted amount of time for the sleep, like I'm not, you know, going to bed at midnight and having to wake up at 5 or whatever, like I have there's good time. If I consciously do that, I absolutely notice a difference in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't always do that. And that's part of the problem.
I would love to do a podcast on routines for humans.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, I'm going to, this is a soapbox moment.
I think I think routine is so important to humans, believe it or not.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. That was what I was going to soapbox, is I feel like...
Soapbox it.
Routines have a bad rap, okay? Like,
they do.
People often say like, oh, I'm in a rut. I'm in a routine, you know, like I'm stuck in this thing. And it's like, there are bad routines. There are, if you know, there are certain things that like, if you're just doing whatever, but they're also, I feel like, so critical to the tying it back to what we spent 30 minutes talking about or in the beginning of this podcast. The world, the life that you live is chaos constantly.
Always.
So if you can define some little routines to help you make sense of the chaos and organize it a little bit, then I feel like that just helps everyone involved. That just helps you get through everything.
It does.
Like for me, one thing that I do, and this is, I do it every day. I eat eggs. Basically eggs. You do it. You already do. You do exactly. I eat the same thing every morning. I wake up and I have the same like morning thing. I eat the same breakfast. And for me, it's that thing of like, I like that I know that is how my day starts. And then whatever, I go on from there and who knows what's going to happen. But at least I know that's how my day starts. I have that, you know? Yeah, it's super interesting. I feel like I would love to do a podcast on routines because I think they are very interesting to the way we live our lives. And I think they're a good thing when they often get painted in a bad light, I feel like.
I agree with you on that, actually. As someone that came from a very routine schedule, like, for a very long time of, I wake up at 5 a.m., I work out, I come home, I eat, I go rinse off, I get ready for the day, I sit down and read, and then like my day starts. But like I got so far away from it, and now this past like week, which is why I'm so sore, I'm back on to like working out in the mornings and coming home and rinsing off and like doing the things that made me and like live in my routine, because it's just so important. And the days that I like stopped doing it and didn't do it, I was like, well, my day's wash. Like, I just feel like I can't do anything anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's so interesting. So if you're not a routine person, I highly recommend you just find one thing to make routine and yeah. like stick with it because it's so important.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to point out and distinction, because I think, like, you know, if talking to someone that is not a routine person doesn't really mm-hmm. have that, when if they hear, you know, you're talking about like your old routine of, oh, I wake up at this time, I go work out, I do that, you know, I eat breakfast, yeah. I shower, I do this, blah blah blah, every single day, that's just like overwhelming. They're like, holy crap,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah,
stop
yeah.
that. But yeah, if you can find one single thing, like I said, like for me, I wake up and eat eggs, that's my morning, that, you know, or whatever, and have coffee, like that's my morning thing.
You got to find what works for you.
Yeah, like just something, you know, a starting place to kind of have something, almost like pull a little bit of agency back to yourself yeah, in this crazy sure. world of like, this is my thing. This is, I'm doing this.
It's like your me time in the morning or whatever.
Totally.
Like it's your little yeah. moment to focus on you.
Yeah, I yeah, for sure.
Dissect your dream while you had the dream that you had.
I never do that. I don't really ever like remember my dreams that much. Occasionally, I do. Occasionally.
I have a couple times I've Googled just because like I had like really weird dreams that I was like, there's got to be like, I know there's no like specific scientific meaning behind whatever yeah. it is, but I do think there's some information that is kind of correlated to a dream. I don't put a lot right. of like trust in it, but right. it's definitely interesting. It's one of those like, this feels logical, but kind of moments.
Right. Like we talked about it in that previous podcast, which we shouted out, go listen to yeah. it. But
episode yeah, I 61. Mean,
it's one of those things. I feel like we were just talking about this literally like two episodes ago or something, two or three episodes ago. I think we were talking about like ghosts again. Like we somehow got.
Oh,
on,
yeah. Yeah.
And
we,
did. we said something about like, you know, obviously we're a science podcast. We want to, you know, obviously like push forward the scientific answer, you know, whatever the approach and yeah. answer to things. But also there are a lot of things that just like they don't have an answer yet. Maybe they will.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. And it's okay to like just entertain some fun ideas about them, I guess. And that yeah. for me, like, yeah, dreams. We talked about it, like there is not a clear cut answer of like, this is what dreams are, you know, just, I guess, keep an open mind about that. I wouldn't say yeah. like, well, I dream about this. And so that means this and that's the law. And it's like, well,
yeah, okay. yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fascinating. Dreams, sleep. It's all crazy.
It's all crazy. It's your brain when it's on like low power mode, essentially.
It's gone into the like battery saving
yeah
power mode, yeah,
yeah, where like, you know, where your phone like glitches sometimes when it's on low battery mode and it's like,
dude, that's my phone all
and it like
time.
Freaks out and you're just like frustrated with it, so you just lock it. Like that's, I feel like sleep paralysis where your phone just like freezes. that's what it is yeah. in a nutshell.
The perfect
super
analogy.
Interesting. Yeah, there it is. So your phone freezing up. But this was super interesting. Sean, I wonder if you had sleep paralysis when you were, because you had it twice, you said. But I wonder if you had it because you were going through a really stressful time in your life. You had some anxiety around something, because that's what happened to me. And when I had it is I was like going through severe like anxiety, even though I didn't know what that was as a middle schooler, but like can now put words to like, oh, I was experiencing anxiety and it manifested and came out in sleep paralysis because my body was just like so overwhelmed. So I wonder if it was that or if it was another underlying thing. I'm not a doctor. We don't know all the things, but you know, maybe this will help you get a little bit of clarity on why it happened and you know what it is.
Yeah. And anyone else out there, if you also have experienced it, hopefully this shed a little light on it. Maybe start some thought processes or whatever. You can think further in, do some more research. If it is a serious problem, again, go get it checked out, get some actual answers.
Yeah, talk to your doctor.
Yeah, talk to a doctor. Don't just listen to us.
Yeah, because we're not doctors. We don't have
certainly
degrees.
Are not. No, not even. Not even.
We're two monkeys. We're literally two monkeys in a trench coat.
We absolutely are. So don't take our...
Today we're in a doctor trench
we're,
coat.
Yeah, we're in a doctor's white coat.
Lab coat. Yeah.
Lab coat. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's hilarious.
What a great pod. That was interesting. It is one of those things, and I already kind of did, but even more so now, I will just probably live in fear of experiencing this, but that's okay.
Yeah, right. It's okay. It's how it is.
It is how it is. You know, that's just, that's life.
The 20s, sleep paralysis. Sleep,
it's all just life, you know? That's just,
it's all life. Life. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But we did talk about in the dreams episode, episode 61, why you dream more when you have anxiety. So make sure you go check it out because...
Yeah, for sure.
Super interesting. Plus, it's great to know more about your sleep cycle and why your sleep cycle is the way that it is. We'll link it in the show notes so you can very quickly click on it. It'll be in the description of this episode. We'll make sure, very easy, very clickable, episode 61. Click it, give it a listen, or just as a refresher.
I guess that's the pod for this week, yeah? Episode 101.
That's the pod. 101. Done and dusted.
Done and dusted. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Sean, for writing into our email address. If you have an idea that you want us to talk about, you can write into our email address at randomtheorypod@gmail.com. You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps out the show on Apple Podcasts. And you can respond to the Spotify question. We're reading those. You can respond to YouTube comments. We read those as well. A lot of ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to go drink some more coffee because it's going to be a long day.
Sure. Sure. It's just that kind of day, you know?
It's just that kind of day, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go drink some water and then...
That's a good idea too.
Do some more Hat Man research, I think. I'm in a
hole. Josh, no more Hat Man.
I got it. It's open in another tab. I got
to
do some...
You're going to open it. You're going to forget to close that tab and open it at night and invite Hat Man into your dream.
That's true. I'm conjuring something right now. I really shouldn't.
Yeah, you need to not do that.
All right, that's it. We're done.
All right.
We're done.
Bye, Science Pal. See you Monday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.